broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We call it the Blueprint for Liberty. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips? And we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. On Saturday, we had on Chris Carlson. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for liberty is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight, is what Chris says, and I say amen to that. We talked about a lot of things. We'll brief some of them with Dr. Scott Bradley with me as well. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website, pointing to his collegiate series and lifelong mission to preserve the nation. Check out his weekly webinars and a whole lot more at FreedomsRisingSun.com. Dr. Bradley, welcome, sir.
Well, thank you. Appreciate, as always, the privilege of being able to visit and maybe share the seeds of liberty. And by the way, your conversation on Saturday, talking about with God we can't fail, with Him without Him we will. I would take it even further. I would be more explicit. And I know you guys probably did an in-depth dive on it, but literally, I believe what God has ordained and established and created at such great cost of so many sacrifices by so many people in this land as a land of liberty. I believe it is a divinely established land. I believe we offend God when we turn our backs on the great gifts He's given us. For example, His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, He offered Him as an offering to basically preserve, restore, renew, save. I mean, there's so many ways to describe it, but He offered His Son, and for all of us that haven't really embraced that great, amazing offering, that it was an offering of a God, a Christ. I mean, my goodness. And we turn our backs so often on gifts from God, and I don't believe it can be done without a great deal of risk. I think we sometimes start feeling like we're pretty hot stuff. We'll make it on our own. We don't need God. Well, maybe we never even think about God. I don't know. But I think this land of liberty was a gift from God, and not just to the people that are privileged to be born and raised here and to live here, but really, truly to the whole world. I think that it's supposed to be a light on the hill. I mean, the Savior, Jesus Christ, was born in a little backwater, dusty village in a remote area of the world, far from the centers of power. And He exemplified everything that we need to do to be able to be everything we can be. And in a similar birth happened in this land. This area, the little 13 colonies along the coast of the Atlantic Ocean, almost clinging tenuously and tenaciously to to existence there, especially right from the very beginning. It was a dusty backwater kind of, just little colonies. What were they? Can anything good come out of Nazareth, as was said, you know? And people, is this country established its constitution under the inspiration of God as it started to bear fruit, as it stood up, dusted itself off, and went striding forward into the world as an amazing miracle? All the world was in awe of what came out of this nation. And for many generations, anywhere in the world, Americans were looked at almost as royalty, as awe, in awe because of the principles that stood by. They were welcomed. They were respected and cared for. And now we're kind of a hiss and a byword.
And we reject the term royalty when it comes to man's ways and man's laws and man's stratification of the classes and the elite and all that kind of stuff. But we embrace the term royalty when we remember that we're all God's children. And when we keep his commandments, we have liberty and blessings. That's why Chris Carlson always says on the program, you know what? With God, we can never fail. Without God, we can never succeed. The battle for liberty is the Lord's, but we must be engaged in the fight. Well said, Dr. Bradley. We couldn't agree more. And that is really the theme, the point of this broadcast, to teach Americans about our godly heritage, to restore the light on a hill status that we once had, not because we want to be great, not because we want to be kings, but because we simply want the principles of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, and we want to encourage the world to embrace the principles that really affords liberty to everyone who embraces them. Let's be very clear. America's great because America's good and because America turns to God, not government. If America ceases to do that, America will cease to be great. Well, logic then applied articulates and helps us realize and understand that anyone, any nation who turns to God Almighty, keeps the principles of liberty, obeys the fundamental commandments of Almighty God, will have peace and prosperity in their lands as well, Doctor. We can't forget that reality. And that's the point of us being a light on a hill. It isn't so we can be revered and honored in the world or man's way. It is so that we can help others realize the same sacred blessings and dream that America affords any of us who turn to God, family, and country, sir.
Well, I absolutely correct, I believe. But I do think that we have a great risk. I think if we turn our backs on God, when he has given us such great gifts, when he has established everything that we hold dear. I mean, you think about all of the God-given rights that the founders were able to discover in the scriptures, and how they incorporated that into the Americanist philosophy. And how, you know, I think if we attempt to blunt God, if we attempt to deflect God, if we attempt to even in any way, shape, or form denigrate God, I think we're at great risk. And so I believe America is at risk right now because of that. I think here we are coming up on election, and sadly, my home state and my home county has polluted the voting process, and we could talk about that at length. But I do believe that you know, we get on the radio, and I say, yeah, I'm biased. I am biased. I'm biased in favor of the limits and bounds established constitutionally in this land within which government may operate, and I will tout that philosophy every opportunity I get. But a great many of people, and particularly those that hold office, are biased, and they won't admit it, in favor of pulling the levers of government, in favor of special interests, and in favor of creation of things that go beyond the limits and bounds of that were appropriately established under the inspiration of God in this land. And people have become basically socialistic in their behavior, and it's what can I get out of it rather than keep out of my way and let's become everything we can based upon our initiative and our hard work and our devotion to abiding in God's principles. And it's become kind of a greedy, gimme, gimme, gimme kind of attitude in so many ways. And it's theft. I mean, you look at the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal. They're using their agent, government, to steal on their behalf and redistribute the wealth. Well, they're not going to be punished for that, at least, you know, in mortality. By God, I believe, will ultimately say, I told you not to steal. You voted for somebody that steals because you thought you were going to get benefit from that, you know. And so that's kind of where we are. We use our agent, government, to pull off stunts that would be illegal for any of us to do.
Our agent, our servant, remember, they derive their just powers from the consent of the governed, Doctor. That is the quintessential point, and that's why we, the people, have responsibility. We can't shirk that duty. We can't pretend it doesn't exist, and we can't pretend we're not liable.
We are liable, and that's what concerns me. And God is gracious. God is merciful. God is patient. He has all of those magnificent traits and qualities that I'm so lacking in. But I just can't help but wonder, at what point have we ripened in our iniquity to the point that we have embraced false philosophies? And by the way, I don't know, as little children growing up have much of a chance. We educate them in a humanist philosophy that is in violation of the First Amendment. They have established a national religion. It's a religion that is a godless religion. It's the philosophies of men and women now and everything like that. But it's this idea that we have deflected and denied and blunted, all those words we used earlier, the true God of the land, even Jesus Christ, and we have become a secular humanist religion embracing company, or it's a de facto religion now, and it's whatever we say we want government to be, it is. And no, it's not. There are limits and bounds, and I am biased in favor of those limits and bounds, and I'm pleased to try and make them popular in the minds of people. But what we're raising each generation to be, and we've had the humanist religion crammed down our throats for so many years now.
Amen to that. We got a quick pause, Doctor, but the headline for this segment is this. Oh, remember. It's all about God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. I got a comment from a listener that I got that I want to share with you all in seconds on your radio.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman trying to write notes, trying to email people back, and wow, trying to gear up for the next segment of radio all at the same time. Welcome to the broadcast, Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com is with me. Oh, remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about God, family, and country. That's what this broadcast is about in the traditions of our founding fathers, realizing what it takes to make people, nations, great. Is because we're good, meaning moral. Without the two pillars, moral and religion, folks, we're cooked. We're done. You can't pretend it or dismiss it out of existence. It is a reality check that we'll remind you of every single day as we turn to Christ, testify of Christ, preach of Christ, as we bear witness that he lives, that he conquered death, that he loves us, and he is the author of our liberty. All right, I got a cool email, or a text, I should say, from listener Jason. And I thought you might like this, Dr. Bradley, because I don't provide a lot of feedback about what people say oftentimes, because we get a lot of good comments. But some of them are just, what do you say, more than good? Some of them are just incredible. And here's what he says. Listener Jason, Liberty Roundtable is a blessing. You and your staff put out the most timely, truthful, worthwhile news of anyone else in the business by far. Now, I like that comment, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not about me. It's not about Dr. Bradley or Scott. It's not about us becoming popular, rock stars, or important. It's about pointing people to God, family, and country. It's about bringing forth solutions that can restore liberty, solutions that can preserve the republic, solutions that can bring us back to the understanding that our founding fathers had, that created the best economic engine in the entire world, the most prosperous, the most peaceful, the most kind, the most loving, the most family-oriented people ever in the history of the world. Okay, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about bringing people back. And so when someone emails me and says, hey, man, Liberty Roundtable Live is a blessing. You and your staff put forth the most timely, truthful, worthwhile news of anyone else in the business by far. That's what this program is designed to do, Doctor, to provide education and solutions, to put context of current news and events and reality into the traditions of our founding fathers, into the understanding based on principles that were brought forth in the great creation of the United States. What made us a light on a hill? What made de Tocqueville talk about us being great because we're good? What made Washington say religion and morality are the two great supports for civilized, moral, prosperous, stable, safe society? This is what matters, Doctor. And his comment falls right into line with exactly what we're discussing, sir.
Well, I thank Jason for noticing. I sometimes worry that so few notice what we are selling down the river, so to speak, or up the river. I don't know what the saying is. It's encouraging to note that someone has noted the value in the message. All too often, I fear that many people kind of with the mundaneness of everything, they let it go. Back in the early 60s, Adolf Eichmann was captured by the Israelis and taken back to Jerusalem to be tried for his criminal behavior during the events of World War II. And Hannah Arendt wrote something called The Banality of Evil. I think it's worth reading. She's a leftist commentator. I mean, I know, so it's not like I'm endorsing everything she's ever done. But it was interesting. She went there to observe the trial of Adolf Eichmann, and she thought she was going to find this wicked, evil, you know, ogre of a man with, you know, yellow fangs and all this kind of stuff being tried. And Eichmann was probably one of the most thoroughly studied men in terms of his sociology and psychology and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they had teams of physicians and psychiatrists and everything examining. Don't want to belabor it, but the point of the matter is, they found him to be almost obscenely normal. I mean, he was just an affable kind of guy that loved his family and did all that kind of stuff. But he had carried out horrifically bad things. And that was what she wrote about, was the banality. It's kind of the commonness, the sameness, the dull, drab, lifeless bureaucrat that carried out horrifically bad things. And I think we have to, you know, it's at the Savior's Last Supper, he made known that there was one among them that was going to betray them. And I'm always just am amazed at how those wonderful men introspected immediately. Lord, is it I? Is it I? They wanted to know, do I have that in me to do that evil? And of course, Iscariot says, Lord, is it I too? He didn't want to draw attention to himself. But the Savior said, thou hast said, you know, yeah, go ahead. You're going to go do it. Get out of here. Anyway, but the thing that I wanted to focus on is we all need to introspect. I mean, is there an Adolf Eichmann in us? And you say, oh, no, it couldn't be. I'm not that evil, mean, bad, and nasty. But what lack I? What am I doing that allows evil to prevail? And, you know, Eichmann was just following orders. He said, you know, I was just a bureaucrat. I did what I was told. And today I have to wonder, what are we doing to preserve the great blessings of liberty, to preserve the things that are sacred? This land has a sacred calling. It is a land of liberty, and I believe that ties back to the Savior. And if we're not doing what it takes to preserve it, I am absolutely, it would sicken me, it would sadden me, it would depress me to think that because of the banality of evil, where we allow just the dull, drab, everyday things to deflect us from the good and noble things we should be doing. That's sad.
Yeah, let me help people understand what you're talking about a little bit, Doctor, because if they haven't read it, they might not quite understand or be able to capture what you're talking about. Have you read The Banality of Evil? And The Banality of Evil is the idea that evil does not always have a Satan-like evil appearance. Yeah. Oftentimes we might associate it with when evil perpetuates immoral principles, when they become normalized over time by unthinking people. In other words, evil becomes commonplace. It becomes the, quote, everyday behavior, to where people are committing evil acts and they're not really even intending to be evil, but because of this relativism idea, because they normalize it so, because we embrace it, you know, first we pity, then we embrace, right? Okay, to the point where she was shocked by the reality of this man in that, hey, he was just carrying out the kind of standards of the day. Was it evil? Yes. But was it recognized as such because of the, quote, creep of evil, or the spoon feeding us in socialist ideas to the point where we wake up and we got a whole porridge, you know, a whole bowl of socialism? That's kind of the idea, right, Doctor?
There's no question, and maybe I can... I'll segue maybe into another subject because I know I distracted you from everything. But
no, you're all right. I think this is vital to understand, though. And so have you read this? Because she documents this. And this is kind of what we experience in our society today, though. You know, right now people are pushing back going, oh, transgender is horrible. This transgenderism is a violation of God's law, where God said male and female created them. Science even backs that normal or backs that reality. But they're changing what's normal. And two or three generations later, anybody who says, hey, there's male and female, is going to be looked at like, you know what, you got three heads? Are you crazy? Because they are normalizing this perversion to the point where it is, what, the bane of evil? That's one example to highlight the point, right?
It is. And I'll just mention something before the break that might segue into something else you might want to talk about. But... there's a talk I gave in the summer called The Fauci Facade. There's a group in Utah called DefendingUtah.org. You can go there and find this talk. It's about an hour and a quarter talk.
By the way, DefendingUtah.org, great friends of ours, dear people, wonderful people that release true and valid information. It should be one of your bookmarks, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Doctor.
Well, anyway, I gave this talk. It took about an hour and a quarter. I wished I had more time, you know me. But at any rate, I talked at some length about the so-called pandemic that happened. I talked from a globalist perspective, a national perspective, a Utah perspective, and what happened to me. They've had to change the title on some of it because they're being, basically thrown overboard by some of the... social media, so you might find it under When Scott Bradley Got Sick or something like that, but the real title is The Fauci Facade, and this is something that the banality of evil came through to the surface unbelievably. Churches, institutions, businesses, everybody fell for the complete facade.
Yeah, it raises the point. Even the Senate panel now that researched COVID found out it likely originated from a Chinese lab. Quick pause, Dr. Bradley, in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As America struggles with inflation from government overspending, the annual rate of consumer price inflation in Europe increased to double digits in October, reaching 10.7%. That's a record and highlighted the challenges facing the European Central Bank. Here in America, the Feds are meeting Tuesday to discuss the next rate hike. Banks will pay for money in an effort to stop the bleeding. Dozens of people have died after a cable bridge carrying hundreds of people collapsed into Machu River in India on Sunday. At least 140 people were killed after the collapse. It's unclear how many people were on the bridge when it failed, but it recently was renovated and reopened less than a week ago. Officials fear the death count could increase as recovery efforts continue at this hour. Georgia's final debate in the gubernatorial election took place Sunday night. Republican Governor Brian Kemp.
We have the lowest unemployment rate in the history of the state. We have the most people ever working in the history of our state. And we're seeing economic opportunity in all parts of our state. People have opportunity in Georgia no matter their neighborhood or their zip code. We've been focused on strengthening rural Georgia. We've also fully funded our schools and given a well-deserved historic teacher pay raise.
Democrat challenger leader Stacey Abrams.
Elections are a choice. A choice between where we are and where we want to be. What does the next 4 years look like? In this Georgia, right now, people are feeling economic pain. And unfortunately, under this governor, the pain is only getting worse. But I look forward to leading a Georgia where everyone has the opportunity to thrive. And I want to land on my record to do so.
SpaceX is launching the big boy Tuesday. The Falcon Heavy will launch from Kennedy Space Center in Florida at 9:40 a.m. Eastern. USA Radio News.
Paid for by government.com.
The 1878 to 1921 Morgan Silver Dollar, a true American classic and one of the most iconic silver dollar coins in history. It's been 100 years since the last Morgan Silver Dollar coin was struck for circulation. And now, for a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck Morgan dollars are being released to the public. That's right. You can own a full pound of 1878 to 1921 classic American Morgan Silver Dollar coins, all in very good collector condition with fully visible dates and mint marks. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-473-1745 now to secure collector-grade U.S. Morgan Silver Dollars by the pound, struck during the Wild West and the Gilded Age. Plus, receive a bonus American Collector's Pack valued at over $25, free with every order. Call 1-800-473-1745 now to secure your full pound bag of Morgan Silver Dollar coins before they are gone. 1-800-473-1745. That's 1-800-473-1745.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. A Jason listener made an incredible comment about Liberty Roundtable Live. Liberty Roundtable Live is a blessing. You and your staff put forth the most timely, worthwhile news in the business by far. And I want to contrast that with all the rage right now is Twitter. I ask, is Elon Musk really Twitter's top boss? Is the question I asked. Elon supposedly fired every Twitter exec involved in banning Trump and who hided the Biden story about the laptops, etc. You know, Elon, everybody thinks is this good guy, but he's a flat-out socialist. Everything he's done has required government money in some way or another. He's also big-time involved in the eugenics movement. He was one of the early proponents of and is currently heavily involved in the eugenics movement, CRISPR, which is gene editing technology, ladies and gentlemen, gene splicing, gene editing. So I appreciate that everybody's excited that Elon Musk took over Twitter, but I don't really share that excitement, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't believe that Elon Musk is for real. Now, he might, ladies and gentlemen, he might provide a temporary respite. Okay, he might make you feel like he's for liberty and that, man, thank heavens we've taken back the media or whatever. But long term, Musk is not your friend. The next highlighted news headlines say this: Elon Musk forms council and announces no major content decisions. Jack Phillips with this piece. And in there, Elon Musk said on Friday that he's forming a council to oversee Twitter's content moderation decisions after he acquired the firm for $44 billion. The Tesla CEO said that Twitter would form a council with widely diverse viewpoints. Now, listen, he didn't provide names or a time frame. No major content decisions and no account reinstate will take place before that council convenes. Musk didn't say what accounts would be brought back or any of that kind of stuff. So I appreciate this idea that Musk is going to be great. He might be better temporarily than the current folks. But let's not jump behind a savior. The only savior, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus Christ. It ain't Donald Trump. It ain't Elon Musk. It ain't any of these jokesters that embrace the principles that will destroy this country if we allow them, Dr. Bradley.
You know, I have said for many years that all of my heroes are dead, or have been, and now are resurrected. I would have to include the Savior in that list, obviously. Hopefully, obviously. Hope there's enough evidence to convict me of being a disciple of him. At any rate, I look at this as one of those examples. Virtually everybody that we might hold up as a banner of something or other, we got to follow this to the end of the world kind of thing. I'm always disappointed ultimately and finally because, you know, their tablet is not written, if you will. Whereas those that have passed away, and most especially the Savior, their tablet is written, and I can know where to measure that. So all of my heroes are dead or have been and are now resurrected. And I think there's a great deal of danger in this kind of hero worship that happens. You mentioned a couple of individuals in your run-up to this, that oftentimes people will take anything and everything that they do as being okay because something was okay. And that's a very dangerous scenario. I'll take another Elon Musk issue with his satellite cellular connectivity that he's doing in over in Ukraine. He has offered that there. And I'm telling you, that is prolonging the war. It's facilitating the Ukrainian Nazis to continue their depredations that are there. And it's being spun in the major media, their lame brain media, I guess I usually call them, as a great humanitarian offering to keep
these people pretending
online.
That one side has the moral high ground, and it couldn't be further from the truth. Only moral high ground is avoiding the foreign entanglements in the first place, Doctor.
Well, that is absolutely true, but what he's doing is literally facilitating the death and destruction of a certain ethnicity and national origin of people there. There's this Nazi movement that's there basically, they're running amok there, and it could only happen, maybe not only happen. The United States is facilitating it. I think the intelligence arm of the United States that's feeding this thing and our military-industrial complex that's feeding this thing is all facilitated by Elon Musk's activity with his connectivity that he's providing. And, I mean, just one example after another, and I kind of had to snicker myself when I saw the Twitter people kind of walking out the door with their boxes of personal goods when they left Twitter.
But, and I basically said, watch where these people land, follow the money, and follow where they all land. If you think they've been literally, you know, put on the street homeless and they've been let go,
it's not.
Watch where they land, Doctor.
Not only that, but watch where this new council that Musk is putting together. Huh? I mean, who's going to invent these gods of our censorship? And, oh, we're going to have a diverse opinion. Holy Hannah, are you kidding me? I mean, you see all of these articles out there about how misinformation is a crime against a free election and all this kind of stuff. People, we have to be discerning. We have to have a spirit of discernment in our life. And if you buy anything or everything wholesale that is being promoted in this world today, you know, Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify. I say distrust until verified.
Yeah, because remember, when they have an opinion group on a panel, on a panel, I'm sorry. Let's say they support 12 opinions that are acceptable, or 10, or 5, or whatever. What about the ones that aren't represented? What about Sam exactly. Bushman's opinion that may not square with their opinions? Let me give you a quick example. Donald Trump has earned $2 billion in free media coverage. Now, CNN Money highlighted that. But we all know, forget the number for a second, Donald Trump has received so much free media coverage. And look at Elon Musk now. We're talking about Elon, and all these guys are getting coverage. You could say, well, some of it's negative, Sam. And my response, it doesn't change the game, that it keeps them in the news. That's why they don't give me a lot of negative coverage oftentimes. They do when they have to. But otherwise, they really try to leave us out of the media and ignore us. If they ignored Donald Trump, would he have been president the first time? If they ignored Trump now, would he have a chance for 2024? If they ignore Elon Musk, what would be the reality, right? Donald Trump acts like he's so against election fraud, so for election integrity. But you know what, my fellow Americans? True the Vote and CSPOA and others, Liberty Roundtable, Scott Bradley, all of us, have literally worked so hard on telling the truth on these elections, so hard to get investigations all over the country. Now it turns out that a federal judge threatens 2,000 mules, investigators. They say, hey, you got to release your confidential sources or you're going to jail. Okay. Earlier this month, the CEO of Conex, Eugene Yu, got arrested and extradited to California. They first mocked us, saying we didn't have any evidence. The data was stored on communist Chinese servers accessible to the Communist Party. But now it's proven that election data was stored there, folks. So my question is, why isn't Donald Trump willing to back and promote the CSPOA and True the Vote? See, Donald talks about it a lot. He really highlights it, but he doesn't highlight it when it matters. He doesn't highlight it when we have a chance to really use financial dollars to help 3,000-plus sheriffs launch investigations into election fraud. Okay, he talks, and he gets news coverage, and he gets star-studded fame and fortune, but he doesn't really dig in what it matters the most. Who's doing the most on election fraud integrity of anybody in the country? Probably True the Vote and CSPOA. Are there other groups? Possibly, yes. They should be included too. But you know what? If there are other groups, they're probably working with True the Vote and CSPOA. So if Donald's as serious as he says about it, why didn't he even show up at our press conference about this? Why didn't he even show up at the Freedom Fest, one of the biggest conservative gatherings of patriots in the country? Why didn't he even show? You say, well, he's too busy, Sam. Okay, why didn't he send one of his delegates? Why didn't he at least speak out and endorse and help fund some of our efforts? See, but there's nothing. It's silence. It's crickets, doctor. And at some point you go, how true is this quest by Elon Musk? Skip the break, will you, Cameron? How true is this by Elon Musk that he's really wanting to stand for liberty in the media? He should be backing Liberty Roundtable Live, but he buys Twitter. He has a big old, you know, back and forth in the media. Same thing with Donald Trump. Now, I'm not here to tell you these guys are our enemies, per se. I accept the good they do. But I also want to warn you that it's kind of like the snake poem Donald Trump read. Folks, these people are inside elitists. That their track records are big business, big elite, deep state associations. And look, I don't believe they've changed, doctor. And I don't believe we should look to them for salvation either. We're looking all in the wrong places, ladies and gentlemen. We got to reject this idol. Agenda where we believe these people are like idols, Dr. Bradley. We've got to reject this.
Well, I absolutely believe you're correct. And the problem is that we have so much hero worship going on that we're willing to close our eyes and our ears and not speak out because we think that we've found our Savior. And there is only one Savior, as we talked about. But the point of the matter is oftentimes not what is said, but what is not said. And I look at, for example, in our local election, we've got a big socialist communist, actually, effort that has only been given a voice in this effort. Now, we've made a big effort to try and oppose that, but because of the late start we had, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I say oftentimes an old saying from the military, sometimes the dragon wins. But
I know how it's going to turn out. God's going to win in the end, even if we have temporary setbacks and even if we lose certain battles. For example, in the news, they have these fake choices. Listen carefully to this one. A growing number of deep state Republicans say that Trump won't be GOP nominee. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if Trump's the nominee or not. I'm not for the deep state Republicans at all, and I'm not for Donald Trump necessarily at all. I want a constitutional, real, stand-up constitutional expert who's willing to stand in the gap for liberty and obey the principles. Dr. Bradley, you're about one of the very few that fit the bill. Okay, so look, that's a false idea. Oh, we got to back Donald, or we got to hate Donald because he's, you know, the deep state's against him, and you better be for him, and it's all a Hegelian dialectic. It doesn't matter which one happens. We'll lose ground when it comes to liberty.
Well, they do, it's a technique called a Delphi survey, where they bring together a group to be able to discuss issues. They only put the desired outcomes on the table as discussion points. And then they give the group the option of, well, do you pursue this one or this one or this one? Do you prefer this, whatever? Well, there aren't any other options on the table. And why this Delphi survey methodology, I mean, they use this in the Agenda 2030 effort by the United Nations group that's trying to take over our land use and everything here in America. But they do these Delphi surveys on almost everything. If a religion says there's only 72 topics you can talk about officially, well, it makes me want to wonder what are the others that are out there. I get very concerned when somebody's trying to constrain discussion. In fact, the first time I got kicked out of the Republican Party was in 1992, where I held a lot of grassroots assignments then in the Republican Party at that time. And so I was known by the group, and I brought the idea to the table that we ought to listen to other opinions so that the people who are the voters had the option of being able to make a choice that was a true choice, not suggesting anything or anything, but we just needed to understand that if we have a constrained discussion with this Delphi-type survey kind of thing, where we only give closed options, the whole story's not being told. Well, they kicked me out of the party. They stripped me of all my
assignments. Yeah, you can't have that, doctor. No free thinkers, really. And that's kind of the problem with the Elon Musk panel, is it will become a real-time, on-the-fly, continual Delphi survey. How to conduct the Delphi survey. Answer is you put what on the table that you want people to consider, and then you literally divide the people, forcing them into one or the other, leaving off the table any real solutions that would change the game or change the direction of events or truly create an outcome that might be great for we the people, but one that you don't want. So the Delphi survey is designed to build consensus, to divide and conquer, do all these things, making sure that you never really focus on the real answers or the real solutions.
Sometimes the answer is none of the above. I mean, sometimes you have to say all of the options you put out there are really going to end up in the destruction of the country. And I could give you plenty of examples. I'm sure you believe that. But the fact of the matter is I have been at the table with Delphi survey kind of things. And sometimes the answer is none of these, and we've got to open up the discussion on the real answers. And by the way, the real answers normally are not giving any consideration because they know that if somebody brought them up, somebody else would be sitting there going, oh, hey, I kind of like that one. That's a good idea. Let's talk about that one.
Let me give you an example. So Joe Biden just went off and says that, hey, you know what? Airline fees for extra legroom is unfair to people of color. All right. So now what you're going to do is you're going to debate whether the airline fees should be charged or not. You're going to debate whether legroom should be charged for or not. And you're going to debate race. You're going to be on all these topics that are part of this Delphi survey. They're just watching for the feedback. The real discussion needs to come back and say, does government have the authority to decide whether we charge for more room on a plane or not? Or is that a private sector decision? Look, if an airline provides no leg room and I can't sit there comfortably, eventually I'm going to go on more leg room airline is where I'm going to go, right? Okay, so let the people decide. But see, it's not even on the table to discuss whether government should be controlling or determining whether there's leg room on airlines. The free market should decide that. But see, that free market discussion is not even part of this, quote, deception. What we're going to debate is race. How much room should be afforded, how much they should be able to charge, if they should be able to charge at all, who should be able to charge. But all the while, the government stays at the center of it, doctor.
You know, it's we're kind of ingrained. We become conditioned for this with the Goals 2000 or school to work educational process, any of those whacked out ways of doing education. Would you rather be shot, stabbed, hanged, or dragged behind a truck to death? The answer is none of the above. I mean, ABC.
I'm kind of liking the idea that live out my life in peace and prosperity.
Absolutely.
And my days be prolonged as long as the Lord sees fit to see me here. That's what I'm kind of for.
But see, that's the way we're ingrained in the people. You look at the four choices and you say none of the above. And that's the problem in America today, is that we're being shoehorned into an argument by those that really don't want you to look at the real answers. And the real answers were originally found in the establishment of not only God's kingdom on earth, but this land that he created. And we have a well-defined back trail to where we need to go. If we're lost, let's look at the back trail. Let's not look at some extraneous man-created foolish solution that's humanist-based and, you know, people...
And that doesn't even have a track record of success either. See, the back trail has a track record of stability, prosperity, and success when followed, Dr. Bradley. That's the key there.
Well, it absolutely does. And I've told the story about me being lost as a six-year-old. If I had known to sit down and look at the back trail, I'd have found my way back. But instead, I went off on tangents. I started running. I didn't know where I was going, but I was sure making good time. And it made it worse. And that's exactly what we're doing today. And everybody's always looking, as we've talked earlier, about pulling the levers of government on behalf of something that someone has convinced us is a new thing. No, we don't do it by guess and by golly. We have a hard, fast, limit and bounded government. And you cannot stray from that without being in grave danger. And we've strayed so far now, people don't
even
know.
That.
They may have gone off 50 years ago, 60, 75, whatever years ago. And you say, well,
when the Federal Reserve is 100 plus.
Yeah. Oh, well, we can go back to Lincoln and the communist origins of that situation with a centralized government, the destruction of habeas corpus, the idea
of violation
jailing.
Of states' rights.
Yeah, the jailing of newspaper editors and legislators that disagreed. I mean, all of this kind of stuff.
The victors writing the history so that we believe it was all about slavery when that was only a minor part. And other nations got rid of slavery without a war. We could go on and on and on and on. But there's one story I got to get to before the end of the hour, Dr. Bradley.
All right.
Here's the headline. 2019 coronavirus simulation was planned at Davos meeting. Pre-pandemic drill took place weeks before COVID case in Wuhan. Art Moore, WND.com, with the story. Basically, here's the deal. A coronavirus pandemic simulation called Event 201. It took place only weeks before the first COVID-19 case was reported in Wuhan, China. It was hatched on the, what do you want to call it? It was hatched at the Davos conference.
It was a tabletop exercise, and Davos was involved along with world globalists that are seeking to destroy our liberty. We've been talking about this, Sam, for 31 months.
Journalist
was a planned
Jordan
scheme.
Schatzel, or whatever, is one who kind of highlighted this, basically. And you got to ask the question, with all this information, is it now clear the entire pandemic was planned in advance by evil forces? I say the answer is a clear resounding yes, but this just provides more proof to what we say. Did you know they literally put together a, quote, pandemic simulation called Event 201? 201, isn't that an interesting number? Anyway, Event 2001, where they literally simulated this 3 weeks before it literally happened, Doctor. How eerie is that?
It was a tabletop exercise, and by the way, it didn't all originate in Wuhan. It was at least much of the genesis of it came out of North Carolina, the university there, at the expense of U.S. taxpayers, facilitated by Fauci and by Gates. We mentioned earlier my Fauci facade presentation I made that you can find, as I mentioned. And honestly, I talked at some length about the Klaus Schwab crowd of criminals that are seeking to overthrow the freedom of all lands. They have been at the center of this. I suspect church leadership from many churches. I suspect government leaders from many governments. I suspect many economic and business leaders were all sitting at that table, moving the chess pieces that were saying, this is how we're going to pull this off. And it was all laid out in a tabletop exercise, and it was carried out a few months later as we got these emergencies that were declared. Utah's emergency was declared by our governor weeks before the first so-called pandemic fatality. It is absolutely absurd. Why did they do it? And if you can declare an emergency, shut down religious liberty, shut down freedom of speech, shut down freedom of assembly, destroy elections, destroy economies, businesses, lives, everything, habeas corpus, all that stuff is set aside because of a declared emergency. What can't they declare an emergency on? Oh, the climate. Oh, guns. Oh, pick a subject, any subject you want, and you'll find that if you can do it for one, you can do it for all. People, we've got to connect the dots. This is the genesis of a worldwide tyranny. And by the way, if you'll go back, and I talked about this in my presentation about the Fauci facade and about the global reset and the idea that we could completely rethink capitalism and the economy. And these self-proclaimed leaders that are in this World Economic Forum, we have connections, literally, Sam, to some of the largest businesses in the state of Utah that sit at the tables with those people, with Klaus and his criminals, and I mean right along with the gates of hell that are there, and we don't even know it. You look at the large economic business, I mean economic powers that are at the sitting at that table, the large pharmaceuticals, the large communication companies. Go do a review of who's on the World Economic Forum. And these are the self-proclaimed leaders that are going to do a coup d'etat silently and carry it out. Anyway, you could maybe hear an introduction to that because I only had an hour and 15 minutes to talk about a lot of these things on my Fauci facade thing. But no, Sam, I'm telling you, this is highly organized, cleverly disguised, powerfully promoted, and we're being sucked under by this vortex or whirlpool of destruction. And we're sitting idly by, thinking everything's great because somebody won a pennant recently or whatever, you know? I don't know. Don't give me
started.
There
you have it,
Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen. This is something serious, though. We have more and more evidence that this really, ladies and gentlemen, has been intentional, has been planned from the beginning. And the more information we get, the more it's proven. I want to highlight before the end of the hour again, Defending Utah Radio. They're great people. They do a great show. They say think right and wrong, not right and left. Amen to that, Dr. Bradley. That's really the way we need to kind of focus on this. And we need to understand this Fauci facade. But look, we need Nuremberg kind of trials. When I say we're beyond the trials, I don't mean we're past them. Like, forget them. I mean, this is worse than even that. But we need Nuremberg trials immediately on this stuff. And Trump would be right in the crosshairs along with Fauci and everybody else. He's the one that, you know, did the fast track or Operation Warp Speed. And he still defends that decision. Dr. Bradley, final comments yours.
Well, the real truth of the matter is that we need the dispassionate environment of a court where the evidence can be presented. None of this spin done in the media. We need to get to the bottom of it. I think we'll be shocked at how deep we're in trouble right now.
Amen to that. Our prayers are that we get the truth. The truth shall set us free. Dr. Bradley, thank you for all you do, sir. FreedomsRisingSun.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love. Tell the tale. Stand for God, family, and country. First, get on your knees and repent. We all must do that. And then stand up and go to work to help us carry out the preservation, the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. After all, it's us pointing to solutions. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.